From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. All right, as predicted, scheduled even, Google I.O., the company's developers conference, kicked off yesterday. There were a lot of updates to software you've heard of, YouTube, Android, Google Home, Gmail, and something called Google Lens. It uses computer vision to identify stuff you point your phone at. New York Times tech columnist extraordinaire Farhad Manjoo was there to watch Google's Sundar Pichai and other heads talk. Farhad, how are you?
Good, I'm good. It's a nice day here in Mountain View, California.
There were rumors ahead of the event, as per usual. I was really interested in what the company is doing with computer vision.
Basically, the theme of the day was like, we are going to use artificial intelligence to make every annoying thing on your phone like slightly better.
We are rethinking all our products, focused on bringing the benefits of AI to everyone.
And so like the computer vision thing you're talking about, you can now point your phone at like flowers.
We can tell you what flower it is.
Point it at a restaurant and it'll show you like reviews for the restaurant, or point it at like a marquee, like a rock concert marquee, and it'll maybe give you the chance to buy tickets for that concert.
Did you see anything that surprised you about where Google is positioning itself in relation to Apple, for instance? I saw some evidence of the walled gardens coming down a little bit there.
Yeah, so what they did was they put their Google Assistant...
is now available on the iPhone.
They made it available for iPhone, which is not a big surprise. I mean, a lot of their users use iPhones and use Google services on iPhones. And one of the things I'm surprised by slightly is that they don't have anything yet for the Amazon Echo, which it seems like sort of a natural thing for like the Amazon Echo to like do Google searches. And I wonder,
why
they haven't done that yet. Yeah.
Anything else from the first day that struck you or interested you?
Now, what's interesting to me about Google and Apple and Facebook and Microsoft at this point, Amazon too, is that everyone is sort of showing off things that just aren't ready yet.
Lens will be rolling out in Google Photos later this year.
We'll be rolling this out later in the year. It launches later this year.
It's a little bit because we're in the sort of middle spot between like the smartphone and the next thing. Like people are trying to find what the next thing is. But also the next stuff they're working on, like artificial intelligence and virtual reality, is just so hard. Like the early versions of it are going to be bad for like a long time.
Get ready for mediocrity for a while. So,
exactly.
Farhad Manjoo, columnist about technology for the New York Times. Farhad, always nice to chat.
Hey, thanks. Good to be here.
While we're on the topic of Google, you're aware the company's self-driving car division, Waymo, is in a patent battle with Uber over some former Google employees who created their own autonomous vehicle startup and then allegedly brought a bunch of Google's intellectual property with them when they were acquired by Uber. Well, Waymo, in a court filing this week, dropped some of its charges against Uber, but it vows to return to the table with a different set of claims, aka, in legalese, this ain't over. Hey, remember the filter bubble, the idea that the internet can keep you away from opinions not like your own and maybe contribute to the spread of fake news? These days, we have other fish to fry when it comes to election influence, but the idea of curated content in an intense news environment is far from gone. And recently, I talked to a guy named Steve Henn about this. Steve is co-founder of a company called 60dB, which is trying to be a kind of audio version of Netflix. Full disclosure, Marketplace Tech stuff is featured on 60dB. First question, what Steve was learning from his data about fighting the filter bubble?
If you confront someone with sort of an oppositional viewpoint, that tends to have a really negative effect on their engagement. So if you know someone is, you know, pro-Trump, pro-wall, and you give them the opposing viewpoint, that's not likely either to deepen their engagement with the product you're building, which is bad for business, or change their mind. But if you recognize that someone is pro-Trump, pro-wall, concerned about immigration, and deeply interested in engineering problems, and you give them stories about building a wall that covers a massive drainage. And then you work from there into the problems around building a wall along the border of Mexico, which is on, you know, a river. That is more likely to engage that person in critical thinking about the problems associated with a specific issue than something that's directly oppositional. So you identify three or four characteristics about the news that they're interested in, give them those things, and add diversity on the fifth and sixth characteristic.
I like this specific example, and obviously you're very optimistic about this, right? But do you think it's really possible to widen people's lens instead of narrowing it in the digital age?
I think you can, and I think Netflix has done it within the entertainment context. I think there's one more really critically important piece to this puzzle, right? So Netflix has certain standards about the content that it brings into its ecosystem. It's not bringing pornography into your, you know, recommendation engine. It has a baseline of standards. And I think in a news ecosystem, we need to establish the same baseline. I mean, it's important to introduce diversity, but if we're pulling our stories from a completely open source ecosystem that includes people who are just making things up or repeating unfounded rumors, introducing diversity isn't actually a public service.
Steve Henn, co-founder of 60DB, which, by the by, has a couple of early Netflix employees working on it. You can find the app via Android or iTunes. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.